Our message this morning is called A Heedful Ear, and I took it from Mark 4:24. If you'll turn there with me. Thus saith the Lord. Then he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. That's basically what the psalmist was talking about. In other places, we hear how people, Rahab being one, who said that we fear you and your God because they heard about him. A heedful ear in Christianity is one of the basic instruments that begins our walk with God. Salvation and everything comes from him. Faith comes from him. Being quickened or being made alive comes from him. But what we do is we take, after we're made alive, we take this book and we listen to it. We listen to it two ways. We listen to it the way you are right now, because I'm going to be using a lot of it in my sermon. But we also listen to it with our head when we read it. The question is, when you listen to it, when you read, don't read too fast, because you'll miss the best parts, because you are listening to it when you read it. With that in mind, let's pray and ask God to open up this Mark 4:24 verse. Holy Spirit, we come to you in thanksgiving that we have your word on everything. It is the authority on every matter of life, including hearing. So as we look into this subject, we pray you'd walk amongst us. And if there's one listening who knows not Christ as their Savior, we pray, God, that you might be willing to stir their heart or even call them to yourselves, whether they're in this building or whether they're online. Either way, we pray that your word goes out. And may it bring conviction to those who need it, comfort to those who need it, edification and growth to those who need it. Whatever is needed, Lord, we pray that through the preaching of your word, it would go out and touch hearts. It never comes back void. Thank you so much for that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I took the time, I don't know if you've ever done that, but it's interesting to note that the words hear or hearing are used over 500 times in the Bible. So how important do you think God thinks it is that we listen? 500 times. We should read, we should memorize, we should meditate on Scripture. But most importantly, we should listen and do what Scripture says. Proof first, James 1:25. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. In other words, if you hear something in this church, don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Have a heedful ear. Listen to it. Pay attention to it. Grab hold of it. It's a gift. It's God's gift to you. And remember, our Lord Christ didn't give us instructions for preaching. He didn't give us directions for listening. He did give us directions for listening. He tells us how to listen. We need to be a heedful listener. And by the way, the text begins as a command. It says, take heed what you hear. That means be careful to what, and here it comes, and who you listen to. He's telling us that we should be biased and only listen to the truth. That's what he's saying, just the truth. Not bad advice in his day or in our day. There are many people out there preaching a gospel that's not of Christ. They call themselves Christians, professing Christians, but it's all talk. They take God's word and they don't use it the way it was meant to be used. Instead, they twist it. They don't rightly divide it, as Paul says. And in doing that, you're listening to the wrong thing. And remember this. If you have a glass a glass of pure clear water and you put just the tiniest drop of red dye in there, you no longer have clear water. If you take this book and you add anything, you subtract anything, or you ignore anything, or you twist anything, it's no longer God's word. And you have to understand that that's a truth. You can't add to it or do anything to it. It is as it is, and it can't be changed. That's the power that's in God's word. So you need to be careful who you listen to. People think, and I was telling somebody this morning, Christian churches are all the same. All they're Christians. They all have the same Bible messages. Not true. Not true. Liberal messages are being, right now, in churches all across this country, liberal messages are being preached to people. Human messages about how great man is. Messages on idolatry, which is necromancy. They have nothing to do with the biblical Christ. Those messages have nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Nothing. And any message that's not biblically true has no value to a believer. No value at all. It actually has no value to anybody, but specifically to a believer, because you do know the truth. So it's important that we take heed to who and what we listen to. 1 John 4:1 reminds us of that. He says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God." Why? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. That was never truer than it is today. That was never truer than it is today. The world is filled with wolves who call themselves Christians, who stand up in pulpits like this with a pew full of people telling them exactly what they want to hear. It's what you call a seeker-sensitive church. And that's what they do. They preach a message that people like to hear. And most of those people never want to hear the truth. They want to hear what they want to hear. And those liberal churches and humanistic churches are more than willing to give them all they want. I'd also add that this command in our text is a warning. It's a warning that if you want to stay healthy spiritually, you need to take heed to what you hear, in the same way you need to take heed to what you eat and drink. Many people have stumbled and apostatized from their faith by listening to things that weren't true. False doctrine. 2 Peter 2:1-2. "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed." I tell you all this because you probably already know it, but it needs to be said that just because somebody says they're a pastor, just because somebody says they have a church, they have a Bible, they have a choir, just because somebody says they're a Christian, does not mean they're speaking of the same thing that's inside of you. It isn't the same. And how can I prove that to you? I don't have to. God proved it. It's the parable of the sower. 4 seeds, 4 Christians, only 1 bears fruit. All 3 dissolve away. An important distinction to keep in mind. That's how we know that everybody who calls themselves, and even Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" All of those things come together to let you know that what you have as a believing Christian is the most rarest thing in this world. There's nothing rarer than a Bible-thumping, born-again, new creature Christian. Now I want to look at our text. I find 3 things in our text, some points, 3 points. The first section of our text There's a command and instructions. Take heed what you hear. The second section of our text is a promise. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And in the last section, I see a blessing. And to you who hear, more will be given. Okay, the command and the instruction Jesus gives us is to take heed what you hear. First thing to note, we are to pay attention to what we listen to. And today, everywhere you look, people are talking about religion. Religion is the most popular subject in the world. Why? Because everybody has one. Everybody knows there's a hereafter. So it doesn't matter. Everybody, you're going to find religion wherever you go. There's always been religion. Always. Man is superstitious. He knows that there's an eternal life. He knows that this is not the end of life. And the result of that is they want religion. But they don't want God because they're hostile to God. And they won't come unless he calls them. So when you listen to something, and how many of us here listen to a favorite one? How many of us listen to Mr. Ravi? And he said some good truths, didn't he? He had a lot of good truths, but he wasn't living them. Do you understand that? You have to understand that just because people say something doesn't mean it's true. You need to take everything you listen to and you need to line it up with this book. And if it lines up with this book, take it in. But if it's one hair off, reject it. One hair off. You know why? Because this book is perfect. And if there's one hair off, somebody got it wrong. And don't let it be you. Very important. We need to pay attention to what we hear. That means we don't come to a worship service half asleep or with other things on our mind, like fishing, golf, picnicking, social events. We don't come to church for that. Don't come to church and be one of these. Yeah. When's he going to get done? Don't. Because you're not going to leave. You're not picking anything up. All you're doing is filling in a time space. You're not grasping anything. I wonder how many of you today came to church looking for something spiritual to take home or online. Don't come to church without looking for something, even if it's a need for another human being that's in this church. Always look for something. That's what spiritual creatures do. They look for things. When God says, love your enemy, he's saying, love everybody. And if you love everybody, you're going to have a heart for people because you have a heart for God and God had a heart for you. Pass it on. That's what you do when you come to church. You don't come to church and say, well, I go to church every Sunday. I throw some money in the bucket. We sing. The guy's all right. He's pretty much on the mark. Okay, I'm going home now. No. Pick something up. As a matter of fact, test yourself. Long time ago when I was... when I was really on fire for God, I don't believe I could be more, but I was. I would, when I got out of church, I'd say, what did I learn there? What can I take and what can I use in my life? It has to be important to you. That's what hearing does. Let it open. It opens your mind to things that you can't know. There are so many things that I preach in and I teach in this church that I picked up from other people that lived hundreds of years ago. Why? Because they were all in line with this book. And if you're in line with this book, that's it. That's the home run. That's not a home run. That's a grand slam. You got to pay attention. You got to look for things. You got to be an attentive hearer because there's no benefit to anyone if God's word goes in your ears and just flops out the other side. Nothing sticks. There's no benefit. Go mow your neighbor's lawn. Maybe you'll get lunch. There's benefit to that. Jesus testifies that non-attentive hearing has a negative effect on a person. It actually has a negative effect. In Matthew 13:15, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. How many times have you heard a message about something that affects your life and you don't do anything about it? You know it. I know I shouldn't be negative. But I just can't help it. Poppycock. If greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, you can get over your negativity. You just got to want to do it. Or those evil thoughts that go in my mind. We all have them. Dump them. Just let them out. You see, you got to always remember what that cross is. It's a symbol of love, but it's a symbol of God's hate, a symbol of love. But you know what else it is? It's a symbol of your strength. Nobody beats up God. Nobody will beat you up unless you let them do it. Do you understand? Take heed to what you hear also implies we should look for personal application to any truth that's preached. Sometimes I get ahead of my notes. Every message of truth has something in it for everyone. I have never preached a message in all the years, not just in this church, in all the churches I've ever preached in. I've never preached a message that there wasn't something in it for somebody. You know why? Because we all need greater faith. We all need a better understanding of God's sovereignty. We all need to understand that whatever happens in our life is going to work out for our good. And these are constant themes that come out of my mouth all the time because I feel them. I can relate them to you. You should never leave a church without learning something and grabbing onto something. The same way you do at Bible studies. How many times have people told me at Bible studies, oh, I got this. That was great. And then the next week, I'll start the Bible study off with the question, last week we talked about this. What did I say? And everybody's like, he knows. You're not paying attention. In other words, I can assure you, and Mike can assure you of this, if you know you were going into combat, and people were going to kill you. They were doing their best to kill you. Their government said, you see an American, you put a bullet in them, okay? And you knew that. And your government said, I'm going to train you up, and you ain't going to take a bullet if you do what we tell you. I guarantee you, you wouldn't miss one lesson. You'd remember everything. And when those bullets started flying, maybe not at first, but after you got a little used to it, I guess, you would have no problem staying alive. Unless God didn't want you to. You'd be prepared. You would bring out of your boot camp everything you learned. What do you think they have it for? Why do policemen have to go to a police academy? Why? So that they retain it. Why do we give people tests? To see what they retain. Do it spiritually to yourself. Start taking things from God. He makes them available to each of us. All we have to do is just grab them, put them in our life, or share them with another life. John, I know you got a lot of problems. Your wife has a problem, okay? A big problem. Give it to God. He'll either change the problem or change your attitude or both or not. But you'll always have the right attitude. That insert will guarantee you that. You understand? You gotta look for things. You gotta want things. You gotta realize that you're living in a world that is so evil. It's more evil than the Corinthian church. The Ephesian church was corrupt. The temple of Diana, the fertility god, was there, and they worshiped with prostitutes. It's worse today. It's worse today. So don't think you don't need this stuff. And if they needed it then, we certainly need it more now. Don't leave church without taking something. Don't take a Bible study or go to a Bible study and not leave with something in your head that you plan on putting in your life. Don't do that because you're missing it. You're not a heedful hearer. It's going in, but it's making no change in your life. The message of truth has something in it for everyone. Listen, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That covers every event in your life. Now, unless you're just laying in bed and not doing anything, which is wrong to begin with, but you won't do that very long. But if you did, you're doing something, and there's things in your life that are troubling you. You need to understand that this book, the Bible, will help you through it. And so you need to look for those things that are going to help you specifically and personally. The heedful ear will listen for truth. They can apply conviction, something you're doing or not doing. It's okay to be convicted. Actually, it's good. It's like pain. Pain tells you something's wrong. Conviction tells you something's wrong. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. You didn't have conviction before you were saved. You have it now. Use it. Comfort. The scriptures are great comfort. Fear not, 365 times, really? That's for us. Confirmation of something, a prayer, or event, or thoughts. I can't tell you how many times we've done a Bible study or a message, and somebody will come up to me and say, were you part of the conversation at my house? You just were like, that's exactly what we talked about. It's a confirmation. Don't just look at it. Wow, God confirmed that. Don't do that. Take it as a confirmation, and then whatever was confirmed, put it in your life. Start putting this stuff in your life, people. Don't just read about it and know it. And personal application of Scripture brings us great joy. If you haven't experienced it, it really does. Spiritual ear. Jeremiah 15:6. Your words were found and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. When you study the Bible, memorize it, study it, not just read it, but study it, you're eating it. As a spiritual creature, you understand the things of God. So you're looking at it, you're reading it, and it tells you that all things work together for good. You just stop and say, all things, huh? Well, I don't know how that bank account shortage is going to affect me, or the shot that I got is going to affect me, or this is going to affect me, or my job's going to affect me. But you know what? If God says that, I believe it. And that's enough. And that's where your faith comes in. That's the power of believing. Jesus said, when you pray, believe. And James 1:22 reminds us that we must apply what we learn. He says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So every time you come to church or you go to a Bible study and you're not picking things up and using it, you're deceiving yourself. Not to mention, you're making yourself more anemic spiritually. Take heed also means we're to be a retentive hearer. That is, we are to remember the truths that we're learning. Bring it with us. When a sermon is over, when I'm done, a heedful hearer will ponder. You'll ponder anything, any of the truths that I give you here today. You should be thinking about them. Take them home. That's the point of it. Don't let it go while it's fresh in your mind. Like I want to say regurgitate it, but it's true. That's what animals do. That's how they get the most out of their food. Cows regurgitate. They have four stomachs, and they regurgitate the food to get more of the benefit from it. That's what meditation does. It helps us get more out of it. And one last important point, we must be obedient listeners. The whole point of listening to the truth is what? To incorporate that truth in your life. What are you here for this morning? And no, you're not here for the coffee because the coffee pot broke. But I know this, if you're here for the truth, you'll get plenty of that. Is that what you're here for? If it's for the truth, then just don't record it in your mind as an event that happened on March 7th or April 7th. Record the events that stuck in your heart like an arrow and use that, meditate on it, think about that, and then change your life either from good to the good or for the better. Either way, use it somehow, use it, apply it. When you hear the truth and apply it to your lives, what are you doing? You're growing spiritually. When you're not obedient listeners, you don't grow. and you become spiritually anemic and lethargic. I can't tell you how many, I believe, believing Christians are lukewarm. They're nominal at best. Hebrews 5, 12, 14 backs that up. This is what he told the writer told the Jews. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk instead of solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I know people that weren't saved a year, not even a year, and they had exercised more faith in that year than Christians that were saved for 20 years were doing, because they were just sitting in the churches and just taking everything in, and that was it. You have to be active. I tell you this almost every Sunday. Your salvation isn't just a free ticket to heaven. Yes, you're going to go there. Yes, the ticket's bought and paid for, but that's not the point. The point is you don't get the ticket to heaven until he called you out of here. And between now and then, you have to do things to show that you are saved to yourself and how much you love God and give him the glory for it. It's not a non-confrontational religion. Do you understand that? It's something that you do. Christianity is a doing thing. It's not a memorizing thing or just a fellowship thing, although that's good stuff. It's a doing thing, being doers of the word. Matter of fact, James says, are we saved by works? We're saved by doing them. What we believe, we're saved by faith, but that faith is only activated when we do something with it. Otherwise, it's passive. And what good is passive faith? There's no good. You have to exercise it, or you'll become a nominal Christian. And in Romans 10, 16, Paul writes about disobedient listeners, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. If you're a believing Christian, and you know what, there's things in your life that don't belong there, dump them. What's the point of listening to all the good news of Jesus Christ and all the blessings if you can't partake of them? Which begs the question, are you dull of hearing, or do you take heed to what you hear? Take that with you on the way home today. Ask yourself that question. When I go to church, what do I actually pick up? What do I take with me, and what do I try to apply the next day or the next week? What? And if you don't like the answer, do something about it. Ask Tim. He'll give you a copy of any message you want. Take the message, play it, and then find something in it and use it. In the second section of the text, we have a promise. With the same measure you use, it'll be measured to you. That's a promise, but it also sounds like a little bit of a warning. It means you will have your corn measured back to you in your own bushel. Whatever you give, that's what you're going to get back. Nothing more, nothing less. Now give that some thought. Give some thought to how much you've used your faith last week. How much will be measured back to you? If you were in heaven this week, how much of it would be measured back to you? How much have you picked up? How much have you grown? How much have you learned? Because all of that is going to be measured back to you. Now, if you're listening to this and you don't know Christ as your Savior, first and foremost of all, what are you filling your ears with? You're filling your ears with politics? You're filling your ears with the world? You're filling your ears with everything but God? How's that working out for you? How much has it helped you get through your life, being in it without anybody? Oh, yeah, you have your family, you have your friends, but they're limited too. They're limited to finances. They're limited to hugs. They're limited to tears. They're all limited. That's all you got. And what purpose is your life serving without God? What do you get out of it? What's the purpose of it? What's the underlying purpose? Well, I'm helping people, I'm doing this. But okay, but what is that doing for you personally? Making your flesh feel good? Like somebody, I take in stray dogs and I feed them and so they're not euthanized and I feel good because I do it. Oh, so your purpose in life is to just feel good. That's it. You have no higher purpose than that, I take it. I don't care what you think your purpose is in life. If you build buildings for the poor, if you give millions of dollars away to people in India, China, whatever it is, none of it has a purpose except to make you happy. That's why you're doing it. And you have empathy for those animals or those people. Now let's change the picture and look at a Christian. You're a believing Christian. Now your life has purpose. Why? Because you're serving a master and everything you do comes back to you. It's measured back to you in the same amount, exactly the same. You have a purpose in life. You're serving God. You're serving people. And you're fighting your flesh. Why is that good? Because there's no one in this world that's ever hurt you more than yourself because of your flesh. Take that home and think about it. If you're lost, and I mean you're lost without Christ, I never realized it, but I'm telling you because I was there, you're lost, you don't have Christ, your life is purposeless. You live for the next day, the next vacation, the next paycheck, whatever you're living for, that's all you're living for, no purpose. You want a purpose in life? You want to upgrade to a life that'll change both now and forevermore? Oh, and by the way, if you're living in the flesh when you die, if you reject Jesus Christ in that cross now, do you actually think you're going to get into heaven when he says, I am the way, the life, and the light? Nobody comes to the Father but through me. And you're saying, well, I'm not going through you. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to be a moral person. I'm going to help other people. And when you die and you stand in front of them, you're going to tell them that? You're going to say, yeah, well, I didn't want to follow you. I wanted to follow my own self. Well, then he's going to say, good, because I got a place for you. It's called the lake of fire. And I'm going to put you in there. Why? Not for what you did, good or bad. I'm putting you there because you rejected the sacrifice that my Father gave you, which was me. You took my blood that I shed for your sins, and you did this to it. And so for that, I'm going to send you into the lake of fire forever and ever. And you'll burn. And you're never coming out. There's no time off. There's no parole. There's no holidays. There's nothing except pain and suffering. Matter of fact, Revelation 14:11 says, the smoke of their torment ascendeth forever and ever, and there is no rest day or night. That's what your flesh will get you. Whatever you're doing in life outside of Christ, that's what it'll end up getting you in the end, at the very end. And if you don't believe it's true, I'll give you a guarantee. You will. You will believe it. You want to know more about how you can upgrade to a life that will make your life now better and forever more better. Can't even imagine how much better. You call or see me and I'll show you in his word how he wants to call you into his kingdom. But for you and I that have come out and that we have accepted Christ, we should have a heedful ear. In Luke 6:38, Jesus gives us an example of how he gives measure. Given, it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. He just can't give you enough. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. If you come to the service and you seek food, you come here for service for food, you'll get it. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. If you need anything else, I don't care what it is in your life that you think you need. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, God will give you everything you need. You don't need anything but God. That's the bottom line. And when you're in and when you're with God, which you are all the time, when you're reading his word, you're in a Bible study or you're listening to a message, have a heedful ear and take something out of it. Don't leave a worship service or a Bible study without having something in mind or on paper that you're going to use. Because if you don't do that, then you don't have a heedful ear. Then you're just a hearer and not a doer. And lastly, God will give you more than you can imagine. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Eye has not seen nor ear heard the things that God has prepared for those who love him. That's a verse that's for right now in your life today, not for eternity, but for today. You can't imagine what God wants to do for you. All you have to do is be a heedful hearer. Take what you heard this morning, find something in it. And if you need a remembrance, Tim will make you copies. Go online. Take something out of it and use it. And when you do that, then you're going to be a heedful hearer. But more importantly than that, now you're going to bear some fruit in your life now and forevermore. Take that home and think about it.